We are continuing on in our study of Ephesians today, and specifically chapter 6, verse 14. I always hope we'll make a bit faster progress than we do, but it's then when it comes time to present the material, it seems there's more to say that needs to be said. At least I think it needs to be said, and so it takes a bit longer than the original plan, but stick with us. We will finish Ephesians in due time. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to read once again verses 10 through 20 because this keeps the picture as a unified whole, even though we're selecting out pieces of the armor as we go through and study the armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Will you bow together with me in prayer, and let's ask God to speak to us today. Father God, this is your word, and we come to you in the name of Jesus, asking you to speak clearly through your word to us by your Holy Spirit. I pray that we would receive what you wish to say, that we would not just receive it as information, but that it would be life-impacting, that the word would be alive, that it would cut through what it needs to cut through to have its appropriate impact in our thinking, in our desires, in our choices, in our behavior. Father, accomplish this great good in us today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 6:14, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth," we looked at that last week, "and having put on the breastplate of righteousness," we're going to look at that today. The purpose of the breastplate is to protect our vital organs. To help us understand why this is so important, picture the kind of battle taking place during the time in history when soldiers wore breastplates. Because that's how we can best make sense of what God is saying to us in this scripture today. You see, in that day and age, getting wounded in the breastplate area rarely killed a person immediately. With the exception of a direct and severe puncture wound to the heart from something like an arrow or spear or sword or knife, a soldier could live and even possibly fight on for a bit after being wounded in that area of the body. And yet, any serious puncture wound to our vital organs will bring death in time because of the unstoppable internal bleeding that results from such a wound. And even though we may properly attend to the outer part of our wound, without immediate surgery to stop the internal bleeding, we will die. And remember, of course, in the days of the breastplate, There was no common or consistent way to stop internal bleeding. And so the breastplate was a vital piece of equipment to protect the vital organs of the body. You see, only the unwitting and the untaught or the immature are likely to think that they will recover after sustaining a wound to the vital organ area of their body. And hence, only those folks would leave the breastplate off, thinking that, well, yes, if I stop the bleeding on the surface, if I dress the wound, stop the infection, everything will be fine, not realizing that inside one of their vital organs has been punctured and there's bleeding going on that isn't being stopped, and they will bleed to death. The rest of us who are aware of what happens when vital organs are pierced, we know that such wounds lead to death. So what is God trying to tell us here? The point is that we Christians can sustain a mortal wound, spiritually speaking, by giving in to those temptations that are designed to result in life-threatening wounds in the area of our vital organs. And because of this reality, we are fools to think that the things that tempt us still to this day. Here we are, Christians, and there are things that tempt us, yes, are there not? We are fools to think that the things that tempt us still are minor or of little consequence. Even if we have made good progress in our spiritual development and in our growth toward spiritual maturity. And why are we fools? Because a wound to the wrong area can be fatal. Even if such temptational wounds seem small or of little consequence to our overall spiritual well-being, the devil's attacks are intended to kill us sooner or later. And for the devil, later can be just as good as sooner. In other words, the devil's intentions go way beyond our having a selfish moment or a sinful day or a sin-filled couple of days, a bad attitude or unkind words or ingratitude. No, his intentions go way beyond that. His intention, and get this clearly, his intention is to hit a vital organ and hopefully mortally wound us. To help us see the importance of putting on the breastplate of righteousness, what I'd like us to do is to look at some of the things that make up our spiritual vital organs. And I've got a list here that is not too long. In fact, it's only made up of six things. And you may have things you want to add to this list, and that would be great if you did. I'd love to hear them. But let me share with you six spiritual vital organs that the devil is out to wound and cause mortal damage to our spiritual life. Number one, our conscience. Wounding our conscience breaks down our early warning system against temptation. And though our conscience may be strong in some or even most areas of our spiritual life, wherever the devil can weaken it so that it will not do its intended job, he will endeavor to weaken it. And if we do not have that breastplate of righteousness on, he's going to find a way to weaken our conscience. And why is that? Because a victory of any size makes us the devil's ally in that area and opens an uncontested pathway into our mind and heart, which leads to worse things. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, we read these words of Paul to Timothy. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight. Here we have military language again. Keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Well, what's the point here? The point is that without the breastplate of righteousness, our conscience becomes susceptible to the wounds of the devil. And he wounds us by attacking us, and when he attacks us, he's able to break through to us because we are not properly defending ourselves. We aren't fully dressed. And when he can damage our conscience, when he can get it to stop working as it's intended to work, so that as an early warning signal, it does not go off anymore, he's gained a serious victory in our lives. And we've lost something of value and importance that contributes greatly to our staying on the narrow path and becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And so I would say one of the vital spiritual organs that makes up our spiritual life, which comes under attack and is defended by the breastplate of righteousness, is the conscience. I encourage you to look at your conscience, at its health, and ask yourself, are you protecting it and defending it as God would have you protect it and defend it? Are you putting on righteousness in a way that keeps your conscience working as it ought to work? The second spiritual vital organ I want to bring to your attention today is the mind. And not just the mind itself, but serious-minded, biblically-based thinking. Let me say that again, because I'm presenting this phrase as a spiritual vital organ. Serious-minded, biblically-based thinking. What I want to say about this is that the devil wins big whenever he can get us to operate out of felt needs or feelings instead of serious-minded, biblically-based thinking. He wins big when he gets us to run our lives according to our emotions or our irrational beliefs or our unhealthy fears instead of serious-minded, biblically-based thinking. The devil wins when he can get us to live according to deeply held yet ungodly values. Values we've never really examined in light of the Word of God. We've never challenged according to the ways of God and the will of God. But we hold them, and we live according to them. He wins big when we operate according to automatic-type thinking patterns that have been established for years, but we've never challenged. And those patterns lead us down the path of self-centeredness and ungodliness. Think about how easily some of us get angry in certain situations. That's kind of an automatic response. It's a learned, it's a willful, it's a deliberate response, but we don't have to think about it at the moment. We just respond that way because we always have. The devil wins big when he gets us to respond in this automatic thinking type of way. And of course, he's a huge winner when he gets us to live according to selfishness rather than serious-minded, biblically-based thinking. And I would say that the devil can sustain his victory over us if he can keep us from measuring our thoughts, our choices, and our behavior against the Word of God. And so he wants to wound us in a manner, in our minds, in such a way that we won't take the time or put in the energy or search the Scriptures accordingly so that we can measure our thoughts, choices, and behavior against the Word of God. And he can sustain this victory, keeping the wound alive and us dying, when he can keep us from examining the long-term consequences of our thoughts, choices, and behavior. How many of us only think in short-term thinking? We look at life for right now, and we aren't so concerned about what might happen tomorrow as a result of what we're doing today, or from 5 years from now, or 10 years from now. We aren't thinking about how this might impact our children, or how this might impact the church one day. We're just living in the moment. And that keeps the devil's victory going on and on and on. He doesn't want us to examine the long-term consequences of our thoughts, choices, and behavior. And I would say one more thing that sustains his victory is keeping us from facing the impact of our thoughts, choices, and behavior on God and on those around us. It's my experience that few of us Christians really stop and consider how our behavior impacts God himself. Oh, we can see how it impacts us when the trouble returns upon us over what we've done foolishly and sinfully. But we're not as quick to see or discern how our behavior impacts God immediately as we're moving into sinful choices and behavior. Oh, the devil wants to wound us in our mind so that he can damage our spiritual life. In Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, we read these words, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." You can't have on the breastplate of righteousness and have your mind set on the things of the flesh. It just can't go together. When we leave that breastplate off, we become vulnerable, and it's very easy then to set our minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, they've put that breastplate of righteousness on. Their mind is set on the things of the Spirit. Now check this out. This is what God is telling us, verse 6 of Romans 8. "For the mind set on the flesh is death." This is a tremendous wound that the devil brings to us. "But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Now don't think of this as an all or nothing kind of scripture. Don't think of this as either you're in or you're out. No, you can be walking with God in 10 areas and letting the devil in 3 areas. And those 10 areas are marvelous, and we want to support that and affirm that and encourage that, but we need to look at those 3 areas, because in those 3 areas, we're taking that breastplate of righteousness right off and going right through those areas as if we're immune to his attacks, and he's attacking us and wounding us, and we're not even attuned to what is going on. We're just following his path in those 3 areas. And we're allowing our minds to be set on the flesh, and we're becoming even hostile toward God. Romans 12:2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How does your mind get renewed? By learning to think according to the Scriptures. By measuring all you think, say, and do according to the Scriptures. Yes, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And I want to make this perfectly clear. Our minds cannot be transformed if we've got the breastplate of righteousness sitting over there in the corner. It has to be on us, protecting us from the onslaught of the enemy who wants to wound us in this vital spiritual organ, our mind. Wants to keep us from serious-minded, biblically-based thinking. And so Paul, in Philippians 4:8, gives us these great words, and words we of a church have considered often. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." There's not much chance you're going to be dwelling on these things without the breastplate of righteousness on. Because without that breastplate, the devil's going to be able to wound you in your mind. And your thoughts are going to be easily going in the wrong direction. The third spiritual vital organ I want to bring to your attention is honest self-examination. That's right, honest self-examination. You see, evaluating self against the Word of God, that is, measuring our beliefs, values, thoughts, words, and deeds by the Word of God, so that we are able to see ourselves as we are, or at least as we more nearly are, closer to what we are. Evaluating ourselves against the Word of God helps us stay on track, and we can do that when we have the breastplate of righteousness on. Well, when we have that breastplate off, what happens? The devil gains a solid victory in our lives if he can wound us in this self-examination area and get us to live in things like denial, or get us to act out blocking. What does that mean? That means we block out certain areas of life. We just don't go there. We just refuse to think about it. We just refuse to entertain any consideration of what's going on in that area. We just go on and live there as if everything's okay, when deep down inside we know it's not, but we're blocking. We're living in denial. And what's the devil done? He's wounded us in our honest self-evaluation, our honest self-examination. But these aren't the only ways he wounds us. You see, the devil wants to get us to justify our bad behavior, to ease up on our self-judgment so that we are not as likely to judge ourselves as harshly as we judge others. Oh, we know the truth about a certain area, but we go easy when it comes to judging ourselves. We justify our behavior. We explain it away. We say there are mitigating circumstances. We say there are reasons that we can help ourselves. Yes, and that's too the devil's wounding in our honest self-evaluation. And when he can wound us here, he keeps us from repenting of our foolishness and our sinfulness in those areas. And that prevents us from moving forward in godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 tells us this: "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." What's happening? These folks are not giving an honest self-examination of their lives. They're just going on, accepting what is about them, or what is happening here or there, or what people are telling them, or what they want. And they're not really examining themselves to see if they are living according to the Word of God and according to the faith they have in God. Oh, they might have, again, those 10 marvelous areas of spiritual development and growth, and that's great. And we're not dismissing that in any way. But think about this. The devil, if he can't destroy all of you, he's going to keep working to destroy part of you. And you may have a part of yourself where you are falling away because you've taken off the breastplate of righteousness and you've allowed the devil to wound your honest self-examination in a particular area. 1 Corinthians 11:27 to 32 says this: "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup," we're talking about communion here, "whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Verse 29, "For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body or himself rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world." What's the point here? What God is saying to us is, look, honest self-examination is vital, because if we partake in communion with sin going on in our lives, unjudged, unrepented of, undealt with, we are eating judgment to ourselves. That's right. And so honest self-examination is vital to our spiritual lives. And what does the devil want to do? He wants to wound us in that vital organ. That's a vital spiritual organ. Honest self-evaluation. And the devil wants to wound us there as much as he can so that it's not working as it ought to work. Now, moving on to number 4. the fourth vital spiritual organ that I want to have you consider today is zeal. Zeal for whole life, lifelong righteousness. Got that? Zeal for whole life, lifelong righteousness. And when I say lifelong, I don't mean from the past, but from this day forward. Now you can be sure the devil will gladly tolerate your zeal for godliness in some areas as long as he can wound you enough so that you protect and preserve some areas of sin in your life. Yeah, he'll tolerate zeal in other areas, but he wants you to have at least some areas of sin in your life because that's at least a partial victory for him. And he wants any victory he can get. Whole life, lifelong zeal in the pursuit of righteousness is a death blow the devil does not want to endure. So in the Christian's life, his goal is to motivate us to willingly and deliberately participate in the practice of at least some sin. We need to nurture that zeal for whole life, lifelong righteousness. But we also need to protect it. And how do we protect it? By putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Oh, what does the devil want us to do? He wants to wound us so that we are weary of doing good. But what he knows is what we ought to know. He knows that when we grow weary of doing good, we'll sow to the flesh. And then we will reap destruction. And he will have gained a victory in our lives. And we're right back again to that breastplate of righteousness. If we take it off in some area of our life, if we take it off for several areas of our life, even though we may have it on and wear it properly in all the other areas, if we discard it in these certain areas, we are giving him an open pathway into our heart and mind, into our lives, and he will wreak havoc in us. And he will get us to sow to the flesh. And in our sowing to the flesh in those areas, we will reap destruction in those areas. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. The fifth spiritual vital organ that I want to bring to your attention is love. Supreme love of God and love equal to self-love for others. At a minimum, love equal to self-love for others. Now imagine the joy on the devil's part when he can wound us in this area of love so that we exalt self-love over love for God and others in at least some areas. You see, wounding us in this area, the area of love, is a great victory for the devil because love, lived as God designed love to be lived and designed us to live it, fulfills every requirement of God in regard to godliness. Love fulfills the whole law. We can't rise to a higher level of righteousness than to rise to the highest level of love. Therefore, any wounds in this area directly result in our moving away from God, is our first and foremost love, and our raising up selfishness as our guiding light and measuring stick for choices and behavior. Oh, and how much the devil wants to wound us in this area of love. And without that breastplate of righteousness, protecting us from his darts, from his spears, from his arrows, we are prone to being wounded, and he will attack this vital organ, this organ of love. John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24 says this, Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. This is God speaking to every one of us. And what he's telling us here is, look, you lose your love for God, you lose your love for Jesus Christ, and you start living unrighteously. It's that simple. It is that directly linked. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And so what does the devil want to do? He knows this truth and he wants to wound us in this spiritual vital organ of love so that we stop loving the Father, stop loving the Son as we ought to love, and begin to love ourselves and the flesh and the world. And then we begin to disobey willingly, deliberately, going our own way. All because we've taken off the breastplate of righteousness and stopped protecting ourselves. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 puts this whole thing, I think, into a clear picture. Now, I realize this is about money, but this is a principle of truth that applies across the board to our Christian life. No one, Matthew 6, 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. One rises and the other falls. Or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. One rises and the other falls. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve God and the devil. You cannot serve God and your flesh. You cannot serve God and self-interest. You cannot serve God and the world. It can't be done. One rises, the other falls. And so I appeal to you, keep the breastplate of righteousness on, because that's your protection of this vital spiritual organ of love. Number 6, and the last one that I have for you today, is a vital prayer life. A vital prayer life. This is one of our vital organs which righteousness protects. You see, limiting the Christian's prayer life is a victory of great proportion for the devil. It puts distance between us and God. It weakens the church. It weakens our personal pursuit of godliness. It weakens our confidence in living the Christian life. And it weakens our intimacy with God. Now, I have some scriptures that I want us to look at here, because the devil is out to wound us in this vital organ of prayer. And I want you to see how important prayer was at the beginning of the church to those in leadership, and then to being devoted to prayer. And we'll look at these scriptures. Acts chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. Acts 6, 3 to 4. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who you may put in charge of this task. But we, the leaders of the church, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's how important the apostles believed prayer was to the development and health of the church of Jesus Christ. They wanted to be devoted to prayer as the leaders in the church. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. And catch these three words, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Now that is one powerful list of activities that we need to be devoted to, and right in there is devoted to prayer. Our prayer life is a vital organ in our spiritual development, and we need the breastplate of righteousness put on every day to protect our prayer life. Ephesians 6:18, a scripture we will be looking at. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Pray at all times with all perseverance and petition. That's some serious praying. Oh, if the devil can get us to pray less, he's gained a victory. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And why did I select this last one? Because I want us to see that the breastplate of righteousness not only protects this vital organ, but it's a significant part of the Lord hearing our prayers. His ears attend to the righteous people's prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Well, again, as I said, you may have some vital organs that you would like to point out that I've overlooked or skipped here in this presentation. And I encourage you to think that through and pray that through. But regardless, if you have more to add to the list or the list is just as I gave it, you want the breastplate of righteousness on in order to protect your spiritual vital organs. Because without that breastplate of righteousness, the devil will be able to wound you. And that wound is not just a surface wound. Because when that wound is a true wound, it affects the vital organs. And that's where you get the internal bleeding. And those wounds, they're deadly. And we do not want to give the devil an opportunity to wound us in any kind of deadly manner. How does righteousness protect our spiritual vital organs? I think that's a worthy question after all we've talked about. But let me begin with answering this question by saying that the righteousness associated with the breastplate does not refer to the righteousness of Christ, which is imputed to us by faith in Christ. God's promise of eternal life is made certain by the imputed righteousness of Christ, but our current spiritual well-being is not protected by Christ's imputed righteousness. Breastplate righteousness is personal godliness, which results from putting off the old nature and putting on the new, from walking by the Spirit instead of walking by the flesh, from choosing to repent, that is, to turn away from sin, and choosing to live according to the Word of God. That's breastplate righteousness. Now, back to the question, and here's the answer to how righteousness protects our spiritual vital organs. Jesus spoke a key principle that I believe can be applied to this area of life as well as the area he applied it to when he spoke it. And the principle is this: for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:21. Let me say that one more time. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As we make righteousness a treasure that is more valuable to us than whatever treasure the devil offers, as we choose to put on the breastplate of righteousness each and every day, rather than leave it off out of some idea of convenience or because we really do want to go off into sin, as we treasure righteousness to the point that we put on this breastplate of righteousness, then whatever treasure the devil offers will not be able to compete with this treasure of righteousness. You see, as we treasure righteousness, we become hardened against the devil's attacks. We become disinterested in his temptations. As we pursue righteousness as one who is starving and dying of thirst, just to give you another example, another picture, we establish a focus on finding satisfaction. Remember, we're starving and we're dying of thirst. We want to be satisfied. As we pursue righteousness as one who is starving and dying of thirst, we establish a focus that is very hard to derail, even by the devil's attacks and temptations. And so putting on that breastplate of righteousness every day, affirming before God and in our own selves our intent to live righteously that day, knowing what the Scripture says about righteousness for us in the areas where we are more easily tempted, helps us put on that breastplate. Being prepared to face what we can suspect will be the temptations of the devil that day is part of putting on that breastplate of righteousness, valuing righteousness more than whatever pleasures or goods or promises the devil may bring our way, is putting on that breastplate of righteousness. And as we do that, our heart will be with righteousness. And we will use that to defend ourselves against the attack of the devil. When you start the day, what do you do? Or what do you put on? Or what do you pick up to steer you in the path of righteousness? When you come into your day, are you keenly aware that righteousness, like a breastplate, protects your spiritual vital organs? Is that on your mind? Is that of concern to you? And if it is, you'll be putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's bow together in prayer.